Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivasesha Sanyavadi Pascati Dejitana. Om Ganatama Nandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Saksu Samaritan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Prakadamayam Tishta Pandantikam Vanjagopatur Vrascha Kripasindu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Kashipu had asked Prahlad Maharaj about the best of knowledge, and Prahlad's reply was Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. These things, these processes, this is, as Prabhupada explains in his purport, Adha, directly bhakti. Kriyate bhagavatyadha tanmanye aditam uttamam. These processes are directly bhakti. They are Krishna's internal energy. They are all spiritual. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna. They are out of this world. Golokeda premadana harinama sankirtana. They're all coming. They have entered this material world from the spiritual world. They are not a product of the material energy in any way. So Prahlad had explained that if one surrenders, he gives himself to Krishna, through these nine processes, not wishing anything in return other than Krishna's pleasure, Jnana karma anavrita, anukulena, thinking about Krishna favorably, Krishna anushilanam, cultivating Krishna consciousness. This is actually bhakti or devotional service. Bhakti chen navalakshana. These nine are what bhakti is. And as Prabhupada explains in his purport, as part of bhakti has also been described as 64 items in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. So, actually these nine contain, or these 64 items are contained in the nine items that Prahlad is mentioning. And also bhakti can be described as five items. So there are different ways to describe bhakti, or the process of bhakti. So these nine items, Prahlad told his father, the great demon, Asurya Varja, the best of demons, topmost demon. That's not a compliment to be called the topmost of bad people. Asura. So Hiranyakashipu was very, very angry to hear Prahlad's reply. And he asked Prahlad again, this time not what the best thing was, because he just heard Prahlad's opinion about that, but he asked Prahlad, where did you learn this? Where have you learned this? Where has this contamination, from where? Who has put this contamination in your heart? Made you disposed towards our enemy Vishnu, who has killed your uncle, my brother, and you have saying Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. He has killed your brother. You're in the camp of their enemy, the enemy. Where did you learn this? And Prahlad's reply in three verses. First is, you can't understand where this, what I have learned was this natural inclination to Krishna. This is the symptom of a devotee. Matirna Krishna Paratoksvatovad. That is the symptom of a non-devotee. That no matter who talks to him, he will be unable to have an inclination to Krishna because of his attachment to sense enjoyment. And rather than making progress towards Krishna, he'll make progress towards hell due to his unrestrained, uncontrolled senses. So you can't have this, you can't understand. And not only you can't understand, but anyone who follows you, Nate Vidu, Svartagatimi Vishnu, because people who are blind, who don't understand what material life actually is, they do not know what the purpose of life is. And in this material world, with the coverings of Maya that are so thick in this material world, it is so difficult to have a fixed spiritual, clear focus, fixed spiritual understanding of the goal of life. What to speak of living with full integrity, congruent with that goal. But those Nate Vidu Svagadatimi Vishnu Durasaya Ye Bahiranda Manina, those who are just following the materialistic way, who don't have the spiritual goal, it is like the blind leading the blind. And what is the result? Disaster for everyone. Disaster either quickly or after a short time, but disaster is just around the corner. So now, in the third verse, Prahlad will explain how to gain this attraction for Krishna, the natural spontaneous attraction for Krishna. Naisham mati stavara rukramangrim sprisha adyanarta pagamo yarata mahi yasham parajo vijekam niskin jananam navanityavad. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava completely freed from material contamination. This kinjananam, having nothing to do with this material world. So unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way, in what way? By smearing upon one's body or becoming fully dedicated to the dust or the service of the lotus feet of a pure Vaishnava. So only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Again, the material contamination as described in the second and third cantos again and again, when the creation, especially in the third canto, possibly four times the creation is described. And although everything comes from Mahavishnu, when the living entities are placed within the material atmosphere, the Mahatattva, the Pradhan, by the Lord, their consciousness reflects in matter. And immediately there's false ego. Immediately there's false ego because we, or the living entities in the material world, we have an aversion. Bahima Krishna Bhule Se Jeev, forgetting Krishna, turning our back on him. Krishna Bahimuk Atta Eva Maya Tari, and therefore Maya, the illusory any energy, gives us samsarera duk, the miseries of material life. So false ego is the primal material contamination, and just before that there is a misuse of free will, and that causes the existence of false ego. There is a turning the back on Krishna which causes the false ego, because our identity is with Krishna. So turning from that causes a false identity, a false ego, immediately. Just like when one is facing the sun, there is no shadow. But as soon as we turn from the sun, there is a shadow. So this is the primal material contaminations on the deepest level. So by taking shelter of Krishna consciousness and at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way, then one can be freed from material contamination. Niskinchananam navaniti avad mahiyasham pararaja, the dust of the lotus feet of the great souls, mahatmas, mahiyasham, who are niskinchananam. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha apagamam, the disappearance of all anarthas, the miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted miserable conditions. The entire Vedic civilization is meant to relieve one from these unwanted miseries. But persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Ishat Tantriyam Urudham Nibhadha, they are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. What does conditioned mean? We use that term, a conditioned living entity. What does that mean? Bhadadiv. What does it mean to be conditioned? Controlled, like that, you mean? Yeah. Huh? Bound up. Huh? Not independent, controlled. Huh? Limited. We are controlled, yeah?
Forced to accept all sorts of conditions.
Controlled by conditions and placed in conditions that are unnatural. Just like when you, nowadays there's some kind of a sale or something like that, and it says free this and that, free that. And then in fine print it says, conditions apply. And the conditions are so strict or something that you end up losing, not gaining anything. So you want to be God. Okay, come to the material world and be God. But conditions apply. So what causes the condition and what controls, what binds the living entity, forces them into circumstances that aren't at all what he desired? Those are the three modes of material nature that force this upon us, all the conditions. the three strong modes of material nature. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. Such an interesting sentence. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. The education that causes bondage. So is that true education? Not as one usually understands what education is. Usually people think of education as the key towards advancement, towards progress. Education is the way that one will get out of poverty. And poverty is a great bondage. Liberate the mind with education. But materialistic education that causes us to think the body is ourself, and that actions related to the pleasures of the body are the source of happiness, this type of education does not liberate, it binds one. Later on in the next chapter, Prahlad is going to describe education that liberates, true education. And it is not at all the education that is being taught in the educational institutions in contemporary society. It's the opposite, exact opposite. Sense control is what Prahlad Maharaj talks about. Vashandanto Gurohitan. That will be later. Prahlad will hear that, but he'll say the same thing. So materialistic education causes the conditioned soul to be bound life after life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that materialistic education expands the influence of Maya. Such an education induces the conditioned soul to be increasingly attracted to materialistic life and to stray further and further away from liberation, from unwanted miseries. One may ask why highly educated persons do not take to Krishna consciousness. The reason is explained in this verse. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide, fully Krishna conscious spiritual master, there is no chance of understanding Krishna. The educators, scholars, and big political leaders worshipped by millions of people cannot understand the goal of life and take to Krishna consciousness, for they have not accepted a bona fide spiritual master in the Vedas. Therefore, in the Mukunda Upanishad, it is said, Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na medhya na bahuna shutena. One cannot become self-realized simply by having an academic education, by presenting lectures in an erudite way, pravachanena labhya, or by being an intelligent scientist who discovers many wonderful things. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only one who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and taken the dust of his lotus feet can understand Krishna. First, one must understand how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The only means is to become Krishna conscious. And to become Krishna conscious very easily, one must take shelter of a realized soul, a mahat or mahatma, whose only interest is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas tumam parta daivam prakritim ashrita, bhajantyananyamanaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me, Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Therefore, to end the unwanted miseries of life, one must become a devotee. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavad akinshana savar gunastatra samaste sura. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. Yasya deve parabhakti yata deve tathaguru tasya ite katita yarta prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Yam evasha vinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivrinute tanum sam. The Lord is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. This is what Prahlad said earlier to the teachers, that one can, to his teacher Sandana Martha, that one can become free from the concept of friends and enemies, not theoretically, not try to impose, oh, I'm not supposed to see friends and enemies, I'm supposed to be kindly disposed to everyone, I'm supposed to see everyone as a servant of Krishna. One can actually see that way, we realize when one gets the grace of the super soul, Prahlad Maharaj told Sandana Maka. So here, yam evisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyesha atma vivrinute tanam sam, from the Mandaka Upanishad. The Lord is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. When the Lord chooses to give someone mercy, then one can attain the Lord. To such a person he manifests his own form. So does that mean that we have nothing to do with the process? We can't do anything? It's only up to the Lord? In one sense, yes. And that's what's called causeless mercy. But in another sense, we can make ourselves receptive to that causeless mercy in the same way that when the sun is shining, we can go outside and take advantage of that sun instead of going inside, locking the door and closing the blinds and curtains. So Prabhupada continues and he'll explain this. These are the Vedic injunctions. One must take shelter of a self-realized spiritual master, not a materially educated scholar or politician. One must take shelter of an iskinchana, a person engaged in devotional service and free from material contamination. That is the way to return home back to Godhead. So that will elicit Krishna's mercy, his causeless mercy. Text 33. So Prahlad Maharaj spoke these three verses to... So Harani Kashyapu was already angry that he was angry from the beginning because Prahlad told his father to go to the forest to take shelter of Hari. Then he had him retrained and he said, what is the best thing again? And then he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. And then he started to get angry and he said, where did you learn this? And now he's explained these three points. You can't understand because you're interested in enjoying your senses and following the blind, bound tightly by the three modes of material nature, the difference between the devotee and the materialist. And if you want, and if one wants to understand, and if one wants to be a devotee, which means, as Prahlad told his teachers, if one wants the natural attraction to Krishna, one has to become a devotee of a devotee of Krishna. So now Hiranyakashipu is going to go mad practically. After Prahlad Maharaj had spoken in this way and become silent, Hiranyakashipu, blinded by anger, threw him off his lap and onto the ground. Blinded by anger, could not even see, he was so angry. His own son threw him down on the ground. Indignant and angry, his reddish eyes like molten copper, Hiranyakashipu said to his servants, "O demons, take this boy away from me. He deserves to be killed. Kill him as soon as possible. This boy, Prahlad, is the killer of my brother, for he has given up his family to engage in the devotional service of the enemy, Lord Vishnu, like a menial servant." Although Prahlad is only 5 years old, even at this young age, he has given up his affectionate relationship with his father and mother. Therefore, he is certainly untrustworthy. Indeed, it is not at all believable that he will well behave towards Vishnu. If he's so whimsical, if this boy is so whimsical that he's given up his affection for his beloved mother and father, now he's saying that he's a devotee of Vishnu, but he's so whimsical by nature, he could easily, just as easily, give up his relationship with Vishnu. He's not to be trusted. He's untrustworthy. Kill him! Although a medicinal herb, being born in the forest, does not belong to the same category as a man, if beneficial, it is kept very carefully. Similarly, if someone outside one's family is favorable, he should be given protection like a son. On the other hand, if a limb of one's body is poisoned by disease, it must be amputated so that the rest of the body may live happily. Similarly, even one's own son, if unfavorable, must be rejected, although born of one's own body. Prabhupada's purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed all devotees of the Lord to be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than trees. Otherwise, there will always be disturbances to their execution of devotional service. Here is a vivid example of how a devotee is disturbed by a non-devotee, even though the non-devotee is an affectionate father. The material world is such that a non-devotee father becomes an enemy of a devotee's son. Having determined to kill even his son, Hiranyakashipu gave the example of amputating a part of one's body that has become septic and therefore injurious to the rest of the body. The same example, of course, may also be applied to non-devotees. Chanakya Pandit advises, Chaja Durjana Samsargam Vaja Saru Samagamam. Devotees actually serious about advancing in spiritual life should give up the company of non-devotees and always keep company with devotees. To be too attached to material existence is ignorance, because material existence is temporary and miserable. Therefore, devotees who are determined to perform tapasya, penances and austerities to realize the self, and who are determined to become advanced in spiritual consciousness, must give up the company of atheistic non-devotees. Prahlad Maharaj maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father, Hiranyakashipu. Yet he was tolerant and humble. Hiranyakashipu, however, being a non-devotee, was so polluted that he was even prepared to kill his own son. He justified this by putting forward the logic of amputation. Text 38. Just as, Hiranyakashipu continues, just as uncontrolled senses of the enemies of all yogis engaged in advancing in spiritual life, this Prahlad, who appears to be a friend, is an enemy because I cannot control him. It's quite an interesting definition of someone who's an enemy. Someone who you can't control is your enemy. Truly the best of the demons. Therefore, this enemy, whether eating, sleeping, or sitting, must be killed by all means. The demons, Rakshasas, the servants of Hiranyakashipu, hearing what Hiranyakashipu said, began striking the tender parts of Prahlad's body with their tridents. The demons all had fearful faces, sharp teeth, and reddish coppery beards and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening, making a tumultuous sound, shouting, "Chop him up! Pierce him!" They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently, meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though a person who has no assets in pious activity performs some good deeds, it will have no result. Thus the weapons of the demons had no tangible effects upon Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a devotee, undisturbed by material conditions, and fully engaged in meditating upon and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchangeable, who cannot be realized by the material senses, and who is the soul of the entire universe. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj was constantly and fully engaged in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Govinda Parirambita. Prahlad Maharaj engaged himself always in meditation, and thus he was protected by Govinda. Just as a small child on the lap of his father or mother is fully protected, a devotee in all conditions is protected by the Supreme Lord. Does this mean that when Prahlad Maharaj was attacked by the demons, the Rakshasas, Govinda was also attacked by the demons? Because he is in everyone's heart. So does that mean that he's also attacked? This is not possible. There have been many attempts by the demons to hurt or kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he cannot be injured by any material means because he is always in transcendence. Therefore the words Paribrahmani are used. The demons, the Rakshasas, can neither see nor touch the Supreme Lord, or they may superficially think they are striking the Lord's transcendental body with their material weapons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this verse as Anir Deshi. We cannot understand him to be in a particular place, for he is all pervasive. Moreover, he is Akhilatma, the active principle of everything, even material weapons. Those who cannot understand the position of the Lord are unfortunate. They may think that they can kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, but all their attempts will be futile. The Lord knows how to deal with them. My dear King Yudhisthira, Narada Muni is saying, he's narrating this. When all the attempts of the demons to kill Prahlad Maharaj were futile, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being most fearful, began contriving other means to kill him. Hiranyakashipu could not kill his son by throwing him beneath the feet of big elephants, throwing him amongst huge, fearful snakes, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of a hill, conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison, starving him, exposing him to severe cold, winds, fire, and water, or throwing heavy stones to crush him. When Hiranyakashipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless, he was in great anxiety about what to do next. So he tried so many different ways. Prahlad was sinless. One suffers due to sinful reactions, but Prahlad had no sins. He could not be harmed. He was protected. by the Lord. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. The Lord desires to protect someone. No one can hurt him. And if the Lord desires to hurt someone, no one can protect him. There's that, I've told this story before. How, and it actually happened. It's one of the wildest things. About this, the true story of how this man had a very, very nasty, horrible habit of pointing a gun at his wife, but there was never any bullets in this gun, and he would threaten her and terrorize her in that way. And meanwhile, as he did that, one day there happened to be a bullet in the gun, and he shot at his wife, but it didn't hit his wife, and the bullet went out the window. And at the exact same time, their son, who was living on the floor above them, decided to kill himself by jumping out the window. And as he jumped out the window, he was shot. He didn't even have an opportunity to kill himself because his father killed him with the bullet. How peculiar. When it is time, when it's one's karma to die and Krishna sanctions death, it can happen. It must happen. No one can save one. Neither doctors nor anything. And when Krishna wants to protect, one could be in the most amazing accident and be unscathed by it, not at all touched by it. So how amazing is Krishna? His protection is full, and if he wants someone hurt, his ability to kill that person is also complete. So Prahlad was sinless, a sinless pure devotee, and Krishna wanted him protected, and he, the Akhilatma Lord, the all-pervading Lord whose potencies are everywhere, the active principle, that Lord who's potent everywhere. He's the active principle of everything. He's Anirdesh. And he's Akhilatma. So he protected Prahlad, who was fearless. And amazingly enough, Prahlad, in all these situations, when he was from the material point of view, he was in the most dangerous situation, Prahlad was experiencing no fear. And on the other hand, Hiranyakashipu, who was in the powerful position, he was completely fearful when he came up against Prahlad. So this is the amazing thing about Krishna consciousness, or an amazing thing, that when one is with Krishna, and then no circumstance is fearful at all. And on the other hand, when one is not with Krishna, there is no circumstance that can actually be free from anxiety. So Hiranyakashipu began to be fearful. And he began to contrive other means to kill him. And he was in anxiety because none of those means was successful. And Prahlad remained perfectly free and healthy and happy. Hiranyakashipu thought, I've used many ill names in chastising this boy Prahlad and have devised many means of killing him. But despite all my endeavors, he could not be killed. Indeed, he saved himself by his own powers. without being affected in the least by these treacherous, by these treacheries and abominable actions. Although he is very near to me and is merely a child, he is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curved tail, which can never be straightened because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu. I can see that this boy's strength is unlimited, for he has not feared any of my punishments. He appears immortal. Therefore, because of my enmity toward him, I shall die. Or maybe this will not take place. So he was really on the mental platform, manaretena sato bhavato vahi. Thinking in this way, the king of the daityas, morose and bereft of bodily lust, remained silent with his face downward. Then Sandana Marka, the two sons of Sukracharya, spoke to him in secret. O Lord, we know that when you simply move your eyebrows, all the commanders of the various planets are most afraid. Without the help of any assistant, you have conquered all the three worlds. Therefore, we do not find any reason for you to be morose and full of anxiety. As for Prahlad, he is nothing but a child and cannot be a cause of anxiety. After all, his bad or good qualities have no value. Until the return of our spiritual master, Sukracharya, arrest this child with the ropes of Varuna so that he will not flee in fear. In any case, by the time he is somewhat grown up and has assimilated our instructions or served our spiritual master, he will change in his intelligence. Thus, there need be no cause for anxiety. After hearing these instructions of Sandana Marka, the sons of his spiritual master, Hiranyakashipu agreed and requested them to instruct Prahlad in that system of occupational duty which is followed by royal household of families. So back to the Gurukula for Prahlad, for more instructions. The last set didn't work very well, but now they're going to try again. Hiranyakashipu was so upset, but now they'll try again. Thereafter, Sandana Marka systematically and unceasingly taught Prahlad Maharaj, who was very submissive and humble about Manmrit. They taught him, he, Prahlad Maharaj, was very submissive and humble about mundane religion, economic development, and sense gratification. The teacher, Sandana Marka, instructed Prahlad Maharaj in the three kinds of material advancement called religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Prahlad, however, being situated above such instructions, did not like them. For such instructions are based on the duality of worldly affairs, which involve one in a materialistic way of life marked by birth, death, old age, and disease. Prahlad explains, Prabhupada explains in his purport, the entire world is interested in the materialistic way of life. Indeed, practically 99.9% of the people in the three worlds are uninterested in liberation or spiritual education. Only the devotees of the Lord, headed by such great personalities as Prahlad Maharaj and Narada Muni, are interested in real education of spiritual life. One cannot understand the principles of religion while staying on the material platform. Therefore, one must follow these great personalities, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Komara Kapila Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balivayasaki Vayam. One must follow in the footsteps of such great personalities as Lord Brahma, Narada, Lord Shiva, Kapila, Manu, the Kumaras, Prahlad Maharaj, Bhishma, Janaka, Bali Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj. Those interested in spiritual life should follow Prahlad Maharaj in rejecting the education of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One should be interested in spiritual education. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, who did not like any of the materialistic education he received from his teachers. So the teachers continued instructing Prahlad Maharaj day after day, hour after hour. When the teachers went home to attend to the household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Prahlad Maharaj, who was truly the supreme learned person, then addressed his class friends in very sweet language. Smiling, he began to teach them about the uselessness of the materialistic way of life. Being very kind to them, he instructed them as follows. There's one last verse, we'll read that, and then these last two purports. My dear King Yudhisthira, all the children were very much affectionate and respectful to Prahlad Maharaj. And because of their tender age, they were not so polluted by the instructions and actions of their teachers, who were attached to condemn duality and bodily comfort. Thus the boys surrounded Prahlad Maharaj, giving up their playthings, and sat down to hear him. Their hearts and eyes being fixed upon him, they looked at him with great earnestness. Prahlad Maharaj, although born in a demon family, was an exalted devotee, and he desired their welfare. Thus he began instructing them about the futility of materialistic life. So the next chapter, in chapter 6, is Prahlad's instructions. Here's Prabhupada's purport to text 55, and then we'll hear Prabhupada's purport to 56, 57. Prahlad Maharaj smiling is very significant. The other students were very much advanced in enjoying materialistic life through religion, economic development, and sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj laughed at them, knowing that this was not actual happiness. For real happiness is advancement in Krishna consciousness. The duty of those who follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj is to teach the entire world how to be Krishna conscious and thus be really happy. Materialistic persons take the so-called religion to get some blessings so that they can improve their economic position and enjoy the material world through sense gratification. But devotees like Prahlad Maharaj laugh at how foolish they are to be so busy in temporary life without knowledge of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. Materialistic persons are engaged in striving for temporary benefits, whereas persons advanced in spiritual knowledge, such as Prahlad Maharaj, are not interested in the materialistic way of life. Instead, they want to be elevated to an eternal life of knowledge and bliss. Therefore, as Krishna is always compassionate to the fallen souls, his servants, the devotees of Lord Krishna, are also interested in educating the entire populace in Krishna consciousness. The mistake of materialistic life is understood by devotees, and therefore they smile upon it, considering it insignificant. Out of compassion, however, such devotees preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. This is the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's a preaching movement. And Prabhupada said, without preaching, the entire institution becomes rubbish. Next purport. So the next verse described how the boys reacted. They heard very eagerly from Prahlad. The word bala adushitadiya indicate that the children, being of a tender age, were not as polluted by materialistic life as their fathers. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, taking advantage of the innocence of his class friends, began teaching them about the importance of spiritual life and the insignificance of material life. Although the teachers, Sandanamarka, were instructing all the boys in the materialistic life of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, the boys were not much polluted. Therefore, with great attention, they wanted to hear from Prahlad Maharaj about Krishna consciousness. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the Gurukula plays an extremely important part in our activities
Because right from childhood, the boys of the Gurukula are instructed about Krishna consciousness. Thus, they become steady within the cores of their heart, and there is very little possibility that they will be conquered by the modes of material nature when they are older. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 5th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Thank you. Any comments or questions?
How much older?
Well, I'll give you a different reading of that. what Prabhupada really means when he says there's very little possibility that they will be conquered by the modes of material nature when they're older. First of all, he said there's very little, so there is some possibility they will be conquered. But being under the influence is not the same thing as being conquered. Conquered means completely defeated.
Okay.
When they're older, and he didn't say how much older.
Thank you.
So there's still, long as someone is getting older, they can still fulfill these words.
Very good.
Because we can see this, even all of them, they may like their training, they may not like it so much, they may be under one influence or another influence, but they can't forget it.
That's true.
Especially when their mother is there.
But when the mother's not there, then?
I think they can't forget it completely. If I can't forget all the rock and roll, the words to all the rock and roll songs that I learned when I was a kid, they won't be able to forget everything that they learned either.
I think that's part of what they're angry at. It's that they can't forget it.
Yes.
And they feel that life has been spoiled because they have these impressions that they keep contrasting to what they're finding as they go through life trying to enjoy.
So this is a hopeful statement. There's very little possibility they will be conquered by the modes of material nature when they're older. And then again, that there's also those who gain this education while young and are doing very well in their Krishna consciousness. There's all the extremes. There's the extremes and then there's everything between. Any other questions? How do you tell who's a pure devotee? Niskinchana, which is, you can translate that as pure devotee. That means that they have no attractions in the material world. No attachments in the material world. And on the other side, they have attachments and attraction to Krishna. So there are so many symptoms, and Kapila Muni explains them in the 3rd canto of the Bhagavatam. And in so many different places, Prabhupada explains who is a pure devotee, one who is attached to Krishna. That's the basic understanding. And has no attachments to matter.
If you don't really have that vision to see that in yourself.
If one doesn't have the vision to see, one can't tell on his own. By definition, practically speaking. But if there are others that one trusts whose vision is better than his vision, one can ask him or them who should one take shelter of. And then one has to gain the faith oneself and trust oneself to his experience, otherwise he won't be able to give himself and surrender. And also one should see who Krishna is acting through in one's life. That's due to the modes of material nature. That's one way of looking at it. So the desire is there, and the modes of material nature are also there. That means there's some passion and ignorance still left in our consciousness. So as long as that occurs, as long as passion and ignorance are there, there'll be always some unsteadiness. When those are minimized, when passion, ignorance are minimized, when they become less, despite even some pressure from them may still be there, that they won't affect us deeply, we'll be able to withstand that. You follow what I mean? So yeah, that will be, and then one becomes steady despite some influence of passion, ignorance being there. So that's called nishta. And at that time, practically speaking, one is liberated. Practically speaking, because the modes of passion, ignorance, even though they have some presence, they don't, practically speaking, affect the devotee. So that's a strong and powerful stage, nishta. So one achieving that is steady. Nishta also means steady in everything. And through the intelligence, even though other influences may be there, through his intelligence, he becomes fixed in the service. And that's a very good sign too. So it's not that we always have to be in ecstasy and fully immersed in the desire, that will come. But we have to go through different stages before that comes. Although we would like to immediately be like that, maybe we don't have the qualification yet. So, looking at it from a slightly different point of view, we can see that Krishna has allowed these modes of material nature, lower modes of material nature, to cover the intense desire, to increase that desire because of the frustration that occurs and because of the dullness that may occur and because of the anxiety that I don't love Krishna enough, that can actually have the effect of increasing the desire. So sometimes Krishna will withhold bhava bhakti, advanced love of God, to increase the desire of the devotee to love and serve him. So that can also be seen as another form of Krishna's mercy. Anyone like to add anything to that?
Yes. Just a little bit to add to that. From what I've had, those experiences, that sometimes, you feel that desire, you feel so, you want to, but then the very next moment, or it could be in the evening when you start feeling that, then the next morning it's all gone. And you're back to normal materialistic life.
So that taste that we get at those times doesn't come by our power, it comes by Krishna's mercy. So that shows us many things. One is that we're not independent in our advancement. As that verse said, the Lord reveals himself to who he wants to reveal himself. We're ultimately completely dependent on his mercy, which is a lesson that that all conditioned souls have to learn, because here we are trying to be independent continuously. So when one is not independent, one is dependent. So to become dependent on Krishna constantly, even for our advancement, is surrender. So we want to declare our dependence on Krishna. That means we have to, on one level, be eager to advance, on the other level, be patient and accept where we are and serve as best we can from that position. So, another blessing from both these comments is humility. Because if we're experiencing all the time that, but without really being qualified, we'd start getting proud very easy. Look how I'm really enjoying spiritual life, and look at all these people over here, they're not really as advanced as I am. I mean, those kind of thoughts, they come very, you know, sometimes I could even say they never go. They're like uninvited guests who don't want to leave ever. But practically speaking, we invite them there due to our false ego, the presence of false ego. So the sadness that comes in missing that, missing Krishna's mercy in that form, is also very healthy. If it brings us to sincerely praying and trying and being more dependent. Thank you both. Any other questions or comments? Okay, it's after. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.